a sober introduction. Luke chapter number 9, beginning at verse number 57 through 62. A radical commitment to Christ. In life, we meet a lot of people. And in meeting a lot of people, I don't think that there is no one that you meet that is more dangerous than a double-minded person.
Double-minded.
They're wishy-washy in their choices, in their commitment, in their finance, in their relationship. Everything that they do, they are so likely to change their mind 5 seconds later. The Bible says that a double-minded person is unstable in all their ways. So how can you have a friend? How can you be in a relationship with a person, and that person is double-minded, yet you expect from them a pattern? How can you expect from a person when they're showing you something else? I think we get in trouble when we go into relationships with people. And in that relationship, when that person show us who they are, we don't believe them. As though they're going to change tomorrow at 5. And all of a sudden become this wonderful person. Now, I'm not implying that you're going to meet perfect people, because we don't exist. But you can be a little bit stable in what you do. Unstable people will lead you down a path, make you believe that they got your back. And the moment that you meet them, they begin to tell you the many reasons they cannot deliver. So the truth of the matter is, if you would have told me this before we got started, I would not have followed you here. But I believe what you said. And so here we go down this path, and I think that you're committed to what you said you would do. Jesus ran across 3 people. And in running across these 3 people, and the Bible says about them, a certain man. That could be you, that could be your neighbor, that could be anyone. He gives no name, and without getting too far ahead of myself, he doesn't even tell us the outcome of the story. It's kind of, I'm going to tell you a story about 3 different people, and I'm going to allow you to be the end of the story. The story is about a commitment to Christ. He meets the first one, and he says to them, he says, I'll follow you wherever you go. Jesus says, come on, follow me. And he begins to give excuses as though he could not really follow Jesus. He says to him, Lord, I'll follow you. And Jesus warns him in verse number 58 and says, now foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of God has no hole. Now, for all you super spiritual people, and all of you that is against prosperity, Jesus is not implying that he's broke. If you broke, you don't need a treasure. If you broke, you don't have an entourage following you. So what he's saying is that I'm about my Father's business. I don't need, I don't have time to design a house here, because where I'm going, I'm going to design a mansion for you, and you need to be about my Father's business. We don't have time to put up new drinks. That's not important. So don't walk away and say, well, he didn't have a hole. Well, that's justification where I don't have to work. I can just sit and wait on the mailman. Not so. That's not what he's implying. So what he's saying is that because I don't have a home, he's implying that's not important to me right now. And so he says to another one, he says, this other one comes about and he says, well, you come and you follow me. And so he says to that man, he says, the man says, well, I got to first go back and I got to bury my father. Now, of course, he was not implying that his dad was already dead. Perhaps what he was implying was, my father's sick and he's going to die. And when he died, I need to be there so I can get my part of his will. I wonder how many of us is in a relationship with someone predicated on something happening so you can get you. I wonder how many of us is in a relationship, if there was nothing in it to gain, would you stay in the relationship? There are some people in your life that the only reason they're in a relationship with you is because they're looking to take something from you. There are some people that you meet in life and they are just takers. They will suck you and suck you and suck you, and they will never deposit anything in your life. Baby, you gotta know when to disconnect from some people in your life.
Amen.
See, a lot of people don't say amen because you're the taker in the relationship. Because you just want what you can get. Because you're not willing to give anything. I heard this morning where he was talking about the story of the squirrel. It reminds me of a raccoon. Got one for you, Rick. So the story of a raccoon is that they say raccoons like shiny stuff. And so if you take aluminum foil, put it in a cage where they have to maneuver to get their hands in it, they grab the aluminum foil, which has no value to it whatsoever, and they'll be trapped in the cage. All they have to do is let go and bring their hand out. God has placed something in your hand, but you're holding on to the little that you have, the shadow stuff that you have, the earthly stuff that you have. And if you'll let go and let God, he'll give you something beyond your imagination. But you gotta trust him enough to let go. So the third guy comes about. He says, hey, I'll follow you. And he says, but first, I need to go and I need to bid farewell back to my home. And so what he says to him is that we don't have time for that. Notice though what he said to the second man, who says, Jesus says to him, let the dead bury their dead. Let the dead bury their dead. I think what he was implying was, or to include, let those in the church that is spiritually dead, saved, but not about the Father's business, therefore they're dead too. Let them bury the dead. We got a lot of church folk. You sit in church, you sanctify, filled with the Holy Spirit, and you dead. We got a lot of folks sitting in the church, know every song that the choir and the praise and worship ministry sing, and you don't believe that God is able to deliver you. You are dead. We got a lot of church folk come to church every Sunday, hear a word, but won't apply the word. You are dead. See, God is trying to wake us up, and what he's calling is a remnant. A remnant is a little, just a little small group of people that's bold enough to step out on faith, bold enough to do the impossible, bold enough to understand that, listen, when I put my hand to the plow, I don't need to look back. Now, I found it interesting how Jesus began to tell someone, come follow me. And he begins to tell them to come follow me. Then all of a sudden, he shifts and start talking about a meal. And I thought about it. Y'all have to excuse my beautiful rope here this morning, but it's a rope. He was talking about a radical commitment. Uh-huh. Now, a radical commitment is when I'm committed beyond the norm. Yeah. When I have sold out to Christ. Uh-huh. When you're radical about something, it means you do some crazy stuff because you believe in what you know. Yeah. See, if we really believe in this Christianity thing, I'm not talking about a religion. If we really believe in this Jesus God that we say we'll die for, if we really believe in this Jesus God that we say that he'll work it out, if you really believe in it, he says you need to do one thing and you need to have faith in my Father. Isn't that simple? He says all you need is faith. Because it is impossible to please God without faith.
Right.
I'm about to kill myself. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The audacity of hope. What would make you, born on the south side of Columbus, think that you can be a doctor? What would make you, little African-American girl, to think that you could be a president of the United States? What would make you, born in the south, make somebody believe enough in you to vote for you because you have the audacity to believe in yourself, to believe in the God-given strength? What would make you, somebody walk out of your life, left you with 3-4 children, what would make you think that everything is going to be all right? Oh, the audacity of hope, the audacity of faith, where everything else is gone, but I believe in my Father. I know that he'll make a way. I know a way. I know that he'll deliver me. The audacity of hope. And so here's a meal calling. Y'all have to excuse me. Because what he says is this. He talks to the first man. He says, follow me. He gave him excuses. He talked to the second one. He told him, I got to go back. I got to bear and wait on my dad. He talked to the third one. He says, I got to go say goodbye to everyone. And he says this in verse number 62. He says, anyone that put their hands on the plow. I know y'all sophisticated folk. But I'm from Hertzboro. So I'm talking about a mode of transportation right here. I'm good right here. Don't need the Mercedes. Don't need the BMW. Just got a mule. I'm good.
Come on with it.
He says this. He says, once you put your hand to the plow. Now, it's some strange things, Mr. Stevens, about a mule. When you get the mule and you get him saddled in to plow, you have to put blinders on the mule. So blinders, you see the folks, is stuck on the side of his face so he can't look back. Once you put your hand to the plow and look back, you're not fitted for the kingdom. God says, I'll strap you in a situation. I won't let you look back. Where you came from don't matter. You don't look like where you are. You don't smell like what you come from. I don't even want you to look back. So he straps you in. And he says, now once I got you strapped in, he says, you got to understand this. He says, I'm going to yoke up with you. You strapped in. He says, I'm going to strap in right with you. In other words, when you go through, I'm going through with you. When you cry, I'm right there to dry your tears. When you're afraid, I'm right there to add some peace in your situation. He says, I'm going to get in with you. And so he says, I'm with you. I'm abiding with you. And you abide.
Yes.
With me.
Yes, Lord.
Now, he wants to know, may I order your steps?
Yes.
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 The meal seeds he's planted. Doesn't even matter. But he has his blinders on. And because you're with him, you simply say, giddy up, Bill. And he goes to walking. And as the mule begins to walk, not understanding where he's going, but understanding that God is ordering his steps. Yeah. Understand every little step that he takes, yeah, that God is right there, yeah, with him. Yeah. He doesn't need to look back, yeah, because he trusts the one, yeah, that is guiding him. Yeah. He's making a radical, yeah, commitment to Christ because he says, now I will trust you. I will trust you. Yeah. And even when I get to the end, yeah, and I need to make a little turn, he says, just nudge, yeah, on me. Just a little. Whatsoever you sow, that you shall reap. Now there's no need to look back, Mr. Mule, because I got you and I'm hooked up with you. And so as you continue to walk, don't look back, because if you look back, you're not fitted for the kingdom. When you look back, we tend to draw back. So he says, don't look back, because you'll go back to the same hellhole. Now listen, you should have thought about your commitment before you got tied up with me. Don't get tied up in a church and then talk about I don't want to be committed no more. Don't get tied up in a relationship and talk about I don't want this no more. Don't start praising God and time get hard and say I don't want to do this no more. As a matter of fact, when times get tough, you ought to praise him the more. Church. They don't want you to praise God in that cute little relationship. If they don't want you to praise God when you tied up with them, tell somebody, just hold my mule. He's worthy. I said he's worthy. after God. So he says, you need to count up the cloth before you touch the plow. Once you touch it and look back, he says, you're not fitted.
Thank you, Lord.
For the kingdom. In other words, what he's saying is that you can't serve him with a divided interest. You can't be lukewarm. You got to be all the way in or all the way out. That's why when you begin to go through something, you better make sure that the person that is on your side got some skin in the game. You better make sure that they got something that's going to make them stay. Because if they didn't put anything in, they'll leave you hanging out, baby. You better know who you're hanging out with. He said you can't have a divided interest. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom and its righteousness, and all else shall be added unto you. He says, just come after me. Just come. Do it like radical. Just come like I believe. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, if I can just touch the hem, maybe you don't even feel like you can do that. The Bible declares that, it says, Peter was just walking by. And as Peter was walking by, his shadow just healed him. Just the shadow.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Yea, though I walk.
Hallelujah.
Yea, though I walk in the valley shadow of death, I fear no evil. He says, thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Scary one with no face, no doubt. He says, I'll prepare a table just for you, and I'll do it in the presence of your enemies. In other words, I'll allow you to be in the same cubicle with your haters. They know they don't like you. You know they don't like you. But he says, sit on down anyway. And they that wait upon the Lord shall renew your strength. He says, when the day come, I'll mount you up with the wings of an eagle. In other words, he says, all the haters around you, I'll give you the wings to rise above your haters, above the naysayers, above the doubt. That's the God that we serve. Come on and stand this way. That's the God that we serve. Do you receive this word this morning? Do you receive this word this morning? Do you receive it? Listen, we don't want to leave this morning without giving someone an opportunity to receive Christ as their personal Savior.